If you have your Bibles tonight, your outline, I want to draw your attention to a word that I think is important for all of us. You'll notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, turn to a famous psalm, Psalm 119, 9 through 11. You have your Bible? Let's read it together. Notice, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? So we could take out the word young. We could say, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way, or shall a woman cleanse her way? It applies to all. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now notice this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now listen to this. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I just want you to notice that the heart is mentioned twice in these three verses. Now, I want you to notice tonight, if you have your outline, you'll notice at the very top of it, the Hebrew word for cleanse, and I've just put the word clean up there. The Hebrew root word is to be translucent. It's to be transparent. It's to be pure. It's to be innocent. Now, I hope every Christian in this room desires to be innocent, to be cleansed. Now, folks, listen, every one of us, we all sin against the Lord. All of us do things we ought not to do, and the goal is not to live in it. The goal is to get it right and go forward. Now, notice, I want you to notice tonight, David, he got greatly discouraged. We can get greatly discouraged. Discouragement can be a sin, because we're not trusting the Lord. And so I want you to notice in the outline, one, Roman number one, you need the good word of God in your life. Everybody needs it. Now, I want to take just a minute, and I'm going to go down quickly these points, but I'm going to go back to one in particular. A, God's words are light to our steps. B, his words give us hope in our God. And notice this, it is, the word of God is our anchor in life. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Notice, if you would, the words of God comfort us. And notice D, the words of God bring joy to our hearts. Now, all those verses reference those very clearly. But I want you to take note tonight, this word anchor. Now, I want you to notice something tonight. Everybody here has got to have something that you count on, that your life is tethered to, that you don't drift too far. The other night I was watching a news clip, and there was a woman out in the middle of this river. It was raging, and she was hanging on to a limb for dear life. You could see her like this, hanging on to the limb, and the rescuers were trying to get to her. So what they did was they anchored a rope to the tree on the bank. They put an anchor first. They didn't dare walk out there and try to get her without an anchor. And so I noticed as the rope, they went up the river, got out in the river a little bit with this rope on, and went down. And as they went slowly but surely, the river kind of carried them down right to where this woman was. They took the rope and tied it around her, and the guy pulled them both in. Now, without that anchor, they could have both been lost, because the river was too fast. And if she'd let go, she would have died. Many a Christian, they don't have that anchor in their life. Now, folks, tonight, this book, God's word, has got to be every young person, every adult's anchor in life. Hey, right now we can't even define a family in our country. Two men, two women, that's not a family. It's not according to Scripture. It's not what God says. It wasn't the way God made us. It's wrong. But how do we know it's wrong? Our society says it's right. Yeah, living together before we're married, our society says that's okay. The Lord says that's wrong, and he gives us a word for it, and we know better. And yet, in the last 50 years, all has changed in our society just about. It's okay to lie as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. All lies hurt people. And they all hurt the Lord. The Lord said, thou shalt not lie. But when is it that we as Christians are going to say, Lord, I'm going to take your word as my anchor. I'll pay my bills because you said to. I'll think the right thoughts because you said to. I'll put my hope in your word because you said there is my hope. Now, folks, if you, everybody in this room, you've got certain things that you count on and trust. Many a man has put his trust in his job. I talked with someone this week that had been in a job 30 plus years and it just went away. If your anchor is in your job, you can be in real trouble. The only thing that stands is this book. And everybody here needs this anchor. Now, I want you to notice, it says it gives light unto our path. Well, if you've ever, I can remember going to my grandparents' house and being a young man, you know, 9 or 10 years old, and the outhouse, how many of you know what an outhouse is? Okay, all right. The out. How many of you don't know what an outhouse is? Let me see. How many of you do not know what an outhouse is? Children? Okay, I see a few kids. Okay. Well, the outhouse was out north of the house. The wind was blowing, whipping. It's in the wintertime. It's 20 degrees outside, the wind's whipping, and it's totally dark. And my grandfather could go out and close his eyes and go right to it because he lived in that house for 70 years. But I couldn't. And so I would go outside and my grandmother would say, here, take the flashlight. And I would go out there. Now, it wasn't so much the flashlight was to give me guidance. It was to make sure nothing was going to get me. I was doing this. But it was a light unto my path. I could see the path and go right out to it. Well, everybody in this room needs a light in the darkness. Lord, should I buy this house? Should I not? Should I buy this car? Should I not? Lord, should I take this job? Should I not? Lord, should I have this surgery? Lord, I've got cancer. What should I do? Should I have chemo? Should I have radiation? Should I have surgery? I mean, Lord, there's so many choices. Do I go natural? What do I do, Lord? The Lord says, hey, wait a minute. Here's a light. You and I must have something more than ourselves. And that's what God gives us in his word. Now, notice if you would, Romans 2 in the outline, I want you to see this. You need the good word of God in a good place, your heart. I want to take just a minute. The Bible is to be read in the home. Now, every one of us know that. I want you to understand something tonight. If you're not reading the scriptures in your home regularly on a daily basis, then you're missing what God intends. God intends for the scriptures to be read in your home. How many of times have, you know, growing up, I'd go over to somebody's house and they had a big, how many of you have seen the big family Bibles? Let me see how many of you have seen a big family Bible. How many of you have seen those maybe on a coffee table in somebody's house? We don't see them much anymore, but they used to be great big Bibles there and they'd open them up and people would use that sort of like, look, we're spiritual. The word of God is worthless in a home if it's not read. If you don't read it to each other, if you don't talk about it, it must be read in the home. Now notice the next one, pretty obvious one. The Bible is to be used in church in every service. Folks, I'm telling you, there's lots of people, there's lots of churches where you don't have to bring a Bible. The other day, I was sharing the gospel with somebody and opened up my Bible. And they said, wow, you got a lot of notes in your Bible. What is all these things? Those are just thoughts and things that have spoken in my heart. Wow, you must read the Bible. Well, yeah. Do you understand? When we come to church,
Not only do I want to read the Bible at home, but I want you to bring your Bible to church. I want you to see Psalm 119, 9 through 11. I want you to see that the Bible says there's a place the Word of God is supposed to be. Yes, it's in the church, but there's a place more important than the church. There's a place more important than the home where the Bible has got to be. Notice, if you would, Roman numeral letter C. The Bible is most important to put into the heart. Notice, if you would, verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So the idea is, Lord, I'm going to seek you, but I'm going to seek you through your word. Don't let me wander. Lord, don't let me lose my way. Put your word in my heart. Notice this. Look here. Look at verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Do you understand? Thy word have I hid in my heart. You've got to get the word of God in your heart. It's important for you. Do you understand here? One, C1, we must read and study to know what God says. A part of the reason you have your devotions, folks, it's not so that you can say, I do read my Bible. Folks, it is so that we as a church family, as individuals, each one of you, if you don't have a time where you take God's word to try to place it in your heart, to try to know it in your heart, what God said about homosexuality, what God said about marriage, what God says about immorality, what God says about honesty, what God says about paying your bills. You know, how many of you know what a credit score is? Do you know that credit score determines what interest rate you get on any loan that you get for a car or house? Every Christian in this room ought to have a very high credit score. And the only exception for that is if you're young and you don't have any credit yet. You ought not to have a bad credit score. It's not according to Scripture. You pay what you say. So when you have a credit card, you pay it all the time on time. I'm amazed when people say, well, you don't have any late payments. Well, why should I? I'm a Christian. I mean, that's what Christians are supposed to do. It's a part of my integrity. I'm just trying to tell you tonight that when you take God's word and you put it in your heart, you find out you can't let things slip and slide. You've got to do right. Oh, I understand if you lose your job or you know, you get cancer. And there's a family in recent days that I met that he got cancer for a year, didn't work. I understand some things like that. But in a normal circumstance, there's a certain testimony that every Christian is supposed to have. I want you to understand something tonight. Notice, he says, one, we must read and study to know what God says. It's important that you know what this book says so that you can do what is right by yourself, so that you can do what David did. You know, it's amazing to me, David and those 600 men, David got down and he was the only one, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. Why? Because he knew the words of God. Those 600 men, they weren't close enough to the Lord to know how to encourage themselves in the Lord. Does God love me? Yes, he loves me. Will God provide for me? Yes. Lord, do you want me to go forward? Yes. It's important that you know that. It's important that you know God will never leave you alone. There may be times where you get the worst of news in all the world. A year ago, I had a test for cancer. And the doctor said, you need to go get a biopsy. It doesn't look good. At that moment, every one of us that had the threat of cancer or whatever, it sort of starkly causes you to say, whoa, what's next? And then, you know, I spent a little time with the Lord. I said, Lord, it's in your hands. I don't have an answer for this, but I'll just have to trust you one way or the other. Your way is perfect. You promised. So by the time the doctor found out the answer to the biopsy, he called me and I was busy doing something with the buildings and I missed his call. And I said, oh, I missed the doctor. I tried to call him back. I missed him. And then he called me back another time. And I was busy again. And then finally he called and says, look, I got to tell you something. Why are you not answering the phone? It's important. It was already the Lord had given me peace. It wasn't that I was ignoring him, but it wasn't, oh, it's a doctor. I put everything else aside. I got to hear him. The Lord had already given me the direction. I got this, Dave. You're mine. And when he got on the phone, he said, well, I got good news for you. You don't have cancer. I said, well, thank you. It's almost like, well, I thought you'd be happier. Well, the Lord has already settled it in my heart, one way or the other. Now, I want you to understand something. That wasn't the way when Susan thought she had cancer 35 years ago. I was in a church in Dallas, and in my mind, I was out working outside and doing things in the youth group, and it just kept coming up, and it just kept front and center. What happens if? What happens if? And what happens if? And boy, it was such a relief to find out, oh, it's not cancerous. The Lord intends to give you the strength from God's word to handle everything that comes your way. That's why Satan was shocked that Job didn't break. Because he knew God. Do you know the Lord? Notice, two, we must then accept God's words as our guide in life. And I think this is one of the fundamental issues that's missing in a lot of our children and our teenagers and our young adults, is they've got the Word of God, they bring the Bible with them, but they haven't accepted the Word of God as their stake in the ground, as their anchor. When I get up in the morning and I don't feel too hot, anybody here ever gotten up in the morning and you didn't feel too hot? Okay. I look forward. I go get my shower. And I've got this electric throw. It's a little chilly in my bedroom. I touch that electric throw. I go get my shower, go shave, come back. I got my Bible right there beside it. I got my, and I jump in that electric throw and throw it over me. And it's like, and I take a copy of God's word and I start to read. It's like all is right with the world. I've got my anchor. And I want you to know something. In my life, I have faced an awful lot of difficulties, just like many of you. Probably some of the most stress were getting the approvals in this building. You realize you folks voted to sell a piece of land that was our future, buy another piece of land that would be our future without any promises. And I felt responsible. And Lord, you've got to help. You've got to do this. Lord, I don't have an answer here. Those Board of Supervisors meetings were of the greatest pressure, some of them, in my life, because I felt the weight of our church future on my shoulders, and it's supposed to be that. But I can tell you this, it was all in the Lord's hands. And Lord, I don't have an answer, but I can't fix it. I can only trust you. And to see the Lord do what he did for us. Last week, I was talking with Nate Hammond, the guy that bought the Ashburn property. He said, hey, Pastor, He said, you know, I don't know why he came up. He said, you know, you'll never get approved again, don't you? I said, yep. But I only need to be approved once. And the Lord did that. We would never get approved again. Never. Matter of fact, I think some of the supervisors that helped us get through won't come to our ground, won't come to our grand opening, because they don't want to be associated with helping us, because they're embarrassed and ashamed of what they did. But you know what? The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And I learned that. I read it, but I saw it firsthand. And what I'm trying to say to you is that all of us grow day by day. But you have to accept God's word and his promises as yours, or it does you no good. You have to accept that the Lord is your God and that these are his words to you, or it won't matter. And that God keeps his promises, or it's of no value to you. And that's why I urge you to bring your Bible and make notes in it, and you hide God's word in your heart. Notice what he says in Psalm 119. Look, if you would, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, that I might not worry against you, that I might not doubt that you're able, that I might not doubt that you're willing to do something for me. Folks, do you see? Look in number 3. Finally, we must use his words regularly. A, we must meditate on it for each problem. When you and I have an issue in life, we've got to go to God's word and find the answer and then meditate on it and trust the Lord and begin to let that, thy word have I hid in my heart. I'm going to count on you, Lord, casting down imagination, the doubts that hit my heart sometimes, the fears, and bring into captivity everything to the obedience of the Lord. Lord, I know this thought's not right for you, for me to have toward you, Lord, and I want you to forgive me. And so you and I begin to think right, because this is our anchor. I want you to know something. I remember in science, in the 7th grade, in the late 60s, early 70s, them teaching me things that got changed 20 years later. And it's not right anymore. That's never happened with this book in 55 years I've been reading it. All I'm trying to say to you is that science will change, because they don't have all the answers. But God's word does not change. The Lord said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change. And all I'm trying to say to you is that it gives me great peace and comfort to get up here after 30-something years and say Jesus is still the same. His words are still the same, and it still counts for you. But you have to accept it and use it in your life. Otherwise, it's no good. How many have ever been provided a prescription? Okay, now let me ask you this. How many of you went to the doctor, got a prescription, went to the pharmacy, got the prescription filled, brought it home and said, I don't think I'll take that. How many of you have ever done that? Okay, a few of you. Don't do that with this book. Now, if you trust the doctor, what he said, you go. You get it fulfilled, you get the prescription filled, and then you take the medicine. And I would say 9 times out of 10, you get better. But what happens if you go and you don't take the amoxicillin, or you don't take the penicillin, or you don't take the medicine that settles your heart, or you don't take the medicine that's good for your kidneys, or you don't take the medicine that's good for your diabetes. You don't take it. And so now what? You know the truth, but you just won't use it. I've seen people like that. And they've died. I've seen Christians like that. And they're dying spiritually. If you're going to walk with the Lord, you've got to use this word for yourself. Otherwise, it'll do you no good. It'll do you no good to come to church. Because when you come to church, you bring a copy of the scriptures, you look at things. I want you to understand. I want you to notice this. Look here. Be in the outline. We quote it when temptation comes. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to Job, if you would. Job. I want you to notice this. Job 31, 1. I want you to notice this. Look at me, if you would, in verse 1. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Okay. Now, why would he do that? Because God said, look not upon a woman to lust after in your heart. So he says, I'm going to make a covenant in my heart. Agreement between the Lord and I that I won't do that. So whenever the Lord says, thou shalt not lie, you need to have a covenant in your heart that I'm not going to lie. And so whenever I'm tempted to lie, I run that verse through my mind. But when I'm tempted to be covetous, I'm going to run that verse through my mind. So let's just use this right here. Job, one of the greatest Christians to ever live, said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? So I'm going to stop what I see so that it doesn't get what I think. And it never gets to my heart. That's the way a pornographer wins the victory. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm dealing with pornographers from time to time, trying to help them, trying to give them, help them get victory over it. It usually takes 6 months to a year. And so one of the things that I do is say, whenever something comes up, you're on your phone, even recently, if you're on your phone and something comes up, turn it over. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. I've made a covenant with mine eyes. So I accept your word as the truth. So God doesn't want me to look at that. Okay, so I agree with you. I make a covenant. Notice, if you would, in the outline it says, and then I quote it when temptation comes. Folks, temptation comes to everybody. It's common to everyone. Read your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Take your Bible and turn there if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to notice this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice, if you would, very famous verse, but I just want you to see this is what God says about it. Notice 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Nobody in this room can say, well, I've been tempted so much, you've never been tempted. You see what I'm saying? Notice here, look here. He says, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Every man's got the same common temptations. But God is faithful. That is what you and I have to remember. God is faithful. David is down. He's thinking about everybody stoning him. But Lord, you're faithful. I know you're faithful to me. And you'll provide a way to escape. What do you want me to do, Lord? You want me to go? Okay, I'll go. And he gets up and 600 men follow him. And God has a sick Amalekite there for him to take care of him. But he never finds that sick Amalekite and the enemy that's taken his families unless he gets up and goes. That is why 1 Corinthians 10, 13 is so important. It's a fundamental verse. Notice what he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. So he says, look, I'll give you the ability. I'll never let Satan tempt you more than you can say no. Do you understand that's a promise of God? So if you're tempted to spend money when you go to the store, God says, it's not too great. I'll give you victory. I'm faithful. Well, I'm tempted to give that guy a piece of my mind. God is faithful. You're never going to be tempted above that you can say no. Notice quickly. Look in your outline. Roman numeral 3, you need the good word of God in your heart for a good reason to be clean. A, God's words help us become clean and stay clean. Notice, if you would, one, here's the secrets to it. We can see what sin is in God's sight. You don't have time to turn there, but if you were to turn to Romans chapter 1, you'll see one of the greatest lists of sins in Scripture. all kinds of things. Disobedience to parents, covetousness, lustfulness, it's all there. Notice, if you would, we learn how to confess it and be clean. We realize that when we've done something that's wrong, we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. How do we know that God forgives us when we confess it? Because he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. It's all about what the Lord says, I will do this for you. But this has got to be the anchor in your heart so that you say, I know the Lord will forgive me. So you can forgive yourself. Notice, 3, we learn to avoid sin in the future. How? By taking the word of God and hiding it in our heart. Now, that's why he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not down the road in the future sin against thee. Many a Christian fails because they don't take God's word and hide that verse in their heart that particularly addresses their weakness. Everybody here's got to do that, or you'll never be strong. B, then we have to obey it to stay clean. True obedience is from the heart. That's the reason Psalm 119 twice says the heart, the heart. It's got to be in here that you believe it. Notice, see, God blesses the clean. 1, he fills with his spirit. And 2, he is good to us when you are clean. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 73:1 and we'll close. Psalm 73:1. Notice what he says. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. A clean heart is what gives you the victory in your life. It's what God says, I can bless Dave Pittman because he's got a clean heart. Tonight, do you have a clean heart? Let's bow our heads forward to prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Lord Jesus, tonight you see our hearts. Lord, give us cleanness of heart. Father, your word is the secret to it. And I pray that you'd help us to use your word to help us live holy in your sight, that you might bless us. Speak to hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.